Like I was saying, it was good to, I grew up in a different country, came here. There are some things I learned, and one of the things that usually people from Europe, they see when they come to US, they're surprised to see that a lot of houses, most of the homes, don't have like a fence around the home. Like, which is not true. Like in our country, our village, everybody almost, like I can't think about a home that didn't have a fence. Usually because we have gardening and stuff, so that's, you know, helping to protect the, you know, everything around the home. And for privacy and other things like that, for safety. But I want to say something about a tree, a kitten, and some rabbits that we had home. The tree is still there, but they has had to do something with the fence around the home. So we had a tree that was attacked, and my neighbor told me it was a big elk that was enjoying that tree. I just planted, it was like evergreen tree. And one day, an elk just was enjoying that and just, you know, peeled off and, you know, it survived barely. Well, the kitten was not so lucky. It was a kitten that Emma loved a lot, and he was attacked by a bulldog and just the kitten died. I tried to save, I was there, but it was too late and the kitten died. But also we had some rabbits. So they were in the rabbit hutch there, like, you know, the cave that I built for them. And one day, a German Shepherd, a big dog, just decided to attack them. And they are not just playing games. They want to, they have this hunting instinct. And thank God the rabbits survived. And what made the difference for the tree and the kitten and these rabbits was the protection they had around them. So the rabbits were in a very good, solid, heavy-duty built cage. And the dog was biting the cage and everything. They were good there because they had some good boundaries around them. So I was constantly thinking about some very important boundaries that we have to have in our life. So today I want to share about these three important boundaries, borders we need to have, these fences around our lives. I sometimes, I'm not sure if I forget about them, but maybe I neglect some of these. So today I want to talk about it because we live in this very dangerous world, changing, constantly changing world. What was right yesterday might not be right today. And what was some pride yesterday is not what people think about today when they say that. So the world is changing constantly. And even from the beginning, when God was talking to Cain, for example, in Genesis chapter 4, he tells him, be careful, because the sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. So God was warning from the beginning, be careful. There's this dangerous sin or animal, lion outside is trying to kill you, but you have to rule over it. You have to be careful. So the first fence or boundary that I have to constantly remind myself and build up around my mind, my family, my life is the Word of God. And as we study and we go through the book of Samuel and we learn about these kings or these people that live there, it's always a reminder for us how important it is, you know, for God to speak to us and for us to listen to what He has to say. There are two verses I want to share. First one is from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. It says that every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. The Word of God is useful for those who take refuge in Him. Doesn't ignore that. The fences are good if they are built actually around the house. These principles that are in God's Word, they are good in our lives if we take advantage of them and practice them and believe them. And also Psalms 18 verse 30 says, As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's Word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. This is the safe place for us to be, brothers and sisters, is having God's word protecting us and we taking refuge in God's word. In other words, what does God say? Everything that comes into our home, first in Europe at least, it has to go through that gate or that fence first. So it has to pass that and then it comes into our front yard or whatever in our homes. Same way, like with, we have to have God's word around us, constantly protecting, guiding us in our lives. There's a hymn that I like. I heard, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. That's the safe, as a place where sin cannot molest. It's near to the heart of God. There is no closer place to God's heart than His Word. He expressed Himself in His Word. He talks about His character. He talks about what makes Him sad or what makes Him happy, where we discover about Him. And that's how we learn from His Word, from God's Word. The Holy Scripture are able to guide us and to protect us. And that's what exactly Paul was talking with Timothy. He said, like, he knows, he said, you know this scripture from the young age, and this scripture are able to protect you, to teach you, to rebuke you, and to correct you. So this is a good way to, like in today's world, like I said, when, I mean, I grew up, I barely heard about anybody divorcing. And we're not talking about God's word, culture. It was like in my village, well, they're a family. I know everybody was struggling, but people were, you know, respecting at least, like culturally, they would not do stuff like that. Today's like almost like it's so easy to like to go through some things like that. And I know this hurts. It's like a lot of things. I have in my family people who struggle with that. I know it's painful. What I say is like, whenever like we come to this world, it just have different opinions, different, you know, things, trends change and everything changes and culture changes and stuff like that. And we have to be faithful, say, Lord, what do you say about this? What is it that you, Lord, talk about the whatever subject? So we have to be intentional about that. Like when I go to God's word, I just don't go and say, man, that sounds like a good idea. When Paul talks to Timothy, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, why? Because you want to be different than other people. You want to listen to God. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. So one day I just learned that Home Depot sells all these, you know, fence planks, whatever, boards, right? That's just learning about that stuff, that, you know, but being convinced of them, I have to go and buy them and just, you know, build the actual fence around the house. So Paul says, you have learned about this stuff from me or from your parents, or and now you have being convinced yourself about this. And from infancy you have known the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what God's work does. God's word does to us. It's teaching, rebuking, correcting, and it's training us to become more and more like Jesus and being safe in this world. So I want to ask you today, how strong is this fence around your life, around your mind, around your heart? How strong is this God's word fence? How many of these planks or boards do you have around your mind, your eyes? Do you have any protection from this world? I don't know, when you hear like two guys getting married, what is it that do you just say, man, that's not right? I mean, at least that should be like, you know, a good common sense saying, man, God intended for marriage to be between a man and a woman. But when you hear that, is it God's word that reminds you this is not right? Or is it just your heart telling, well, that's not okay? Because the heart is okay to be there thinking, but that's not the, you know, the ultimate standard we have to be, you know, judging ourselves. It has to be God's word. How strong is it? I remember in our childhood, in the evenings, we would get outside and play with everybody on our street. So our street was about, I don't know, maybe 15 homes or something, or maybe 20, like on each side. And we would just meet somewhere in the middle. Remember fences? All the homes have fences. So we were playing. Our home was somewhere in the middle of this street. And we would gather somewhere like in this part of the street, and we would play with the boys and have a good time. And somebody who was living just a couple homes, like on the other side from our home, they had a dog that was very annoying, like a chihuahua. Very annoying. So this dog used to, like, you know, wander around, go through the street, and in the evening we just see it coming down the street, coming, going home, and had to pass through us. So that dog had no problem to just pass us because he, you know, annoyed us many times. One night, however, we were there in a group, and one guy from our village had this big dog, a very hairy, like a big head, like a little bear. This is a Russian kind of dog. I forgot, Vodolaz. I don't know how it says in English. But anyway, it's a big dog. So we were just around the dog, and we watched this dog. Like, man, it's so interesting, so beautiful. And we just admired the dog. And we, you know, sitting there, and here comes the little dog from down the street. Knopka, that was her name. It just comes, and when he just, as usual, comes right there, and when it gets to us, all of a sudden, this little dog noticed this huge animal, this dog, got so scared, and she just immediately reacted and just went through the fence that was right there next to us. This was our neighbor, and it was an old lady. Her fence was built of everything you could imagine. Pieces of wood, plastic, whatever, like roof, if something is left over from the roof. So the fence was like that, and this dog just went through the fence because it got scared and just went through there. So I was thinking about that. How is my actual fence around in my life? God's word, is it like that? Is it solid? Whenever I'm tempted to do something, whenever I'm tempted to get angry, is it because I say, Lord, you died for that sin? Do I take it seriously? When God says, children, obey your parents, do we take it seriously? Or do we just put like these pieces of, you know, things that, you know, they look like a fence, and the first temptation that comes, you know, the seed that did not have roots, did not get good ground, whenever a wind comes or a bird comes, it's just gone. It has to be a solid fence around our homes and our lives. Whenever we will face temptations and hard times, and we have to rely on God's word. Paul was talking to Corinthians, that church, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he says that they know, like he said, we are not unaware of the Satan's schemes or tactics. In other words, we know where the enemy is going to come from. And he was talking about the importance of forgiving. They just disciplined the guy who was living in sin. And he says it's important not just to, you know, just beat him down. We have to recover him. So he said, like, it's important to forgive and to accept him. So in that case, like he says, we know where Satan is coming from. And we have to be ready. Like Jesus said, whenever the thief comes, if you know the hour, the time he comes, you'd be prepared for that. That's why we put all these things around us to keep us safe. So the more we're exposed to this world and we don't know what to expect, the more we have to learn and absorb and get God's word in our heart, in our mind, so it can protect us. As you know, I drive for a living. I'm a truck driver. So when I was starting driving back in 2003, there was no GPSs. It was a map. We have to call for directions and stuff. So we had to go old school about that. today, I mean, and whenever we go to a place somewhere, like I have to like check on the map if I can drive my truck there, if it's a truck route, if I can go there, and I have to call the company, what's the best direction to get there and stuff like that. Today, there are GPSs. So with the GPS, you just follow whatever it tells you to go there, like you follow on the map. But back then, I have to pay attention to every single sign that I see on the road. If I miss the exit, I don't know where is the next one and stuff. I was very careful. But even today, I use GPS. Not because I don't know the road. I travel the same road twice a week. Every week. I know every pothole on that road between Oklahoma and Chicago. I know everything. Do you know why I have my GPS on? I have on Google Maps, and I always have it on there. I have a tablet, and before I start, I have the route started there. It's because it tells me in advance if there's an accident. If there's something that happens on the road, I can avoid that. Just yesterday, I did that. I had to avoid heavy traffic, and I just took a different road. I can see if there is anything on the road. You can report something if you see there, like you can report on the Google map. So when I drive, I rely on this piece of technology that is going to tell me somebody's already there reporting something and I'm not there yet. When it comes to God's word, for God there is no tomorrow. The Bible is like a map. God says bad days will come in your life and this is what you have to do. Put on the full armor of God. Get ready. So this is how we get prepared for that. And God is already tomorrow. He saw the struggles, the fears, the tears we have today, where we might have tomorrow. And God is already there. And I trust Him. I say, Lord, I'm just going to follow You. And He's warning me, and He wants me to be prepared for that. Well, that's God's word. I'm not going to be too long, but I want to talk about also the second fence, the second boundary around us. And as we read God's word more and more, it renews our mind. And this second border around us, second boundary is a clean conscience. I can read God's word, but if it's not going to penetrate my mind, it's not going to change me, my conscience, I'm going to just be like a Pharisee. I'm going to know God's word and, you know, I know everything for everybody, but it's not going to be able to change me personally. That's why Paul says, like, when he's writing in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, he says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. It's very important, not just my conscience, because our conscience, we are born, you know, and we have a sinful flesh. But it has to be renewed. And in Romanian, actually says, Paul says that my conscience is enlightened, like, you know, is renewed by the Holy Spirit. So whenever I come to, whatever I do in life, what does my conscience tell about that? Because I might take or might think to do things differently. I have a friend who, we did something that was not so, you know, it was foolish, and we did not realize that. And this friend of mine, about my age, we were both one night just crying and just, you know, regretting what we did. It was not appropriate for us. We were in the Bible school, you know, and then we'd just been in a place like we with other guys. We had some fun, nothing sinful in that way, but, you know, we just did something that was not okay for us to do. And the guy was so, like, affected by that. He literally, I was, me and him, he was my best friend in the Bible school. So me and him were literally in that room and he literally hit the wall with his head. He said, how could I do that? He was beating himself up. How could I do that? He was so like regretting stuff. And I was thinking like, whenever we come to God's word and we do something in our lives that we regret, do I just go to God's word and say, Lord, You said if I confess my sin, not hit my head, you know, against the wall. If I confess my sin, Lord, You forgive me. And I repent and I regret it, Lord. And thank You for that, Lord. That's how we come and our conscience becomes renewed every time we do that. So There's going to be times when, you know, we're not going to have the Bible with us, like, you know, immediately there. It's our conscience that tells us what is good, what is, it's wrong. In traffic, whenever you're tempted or something, you don't go, oh, let me grab my Bible, see what I have to do now. It's your heart that tells you what is good or not. Well, some people do stuff that they think it's okay, you know. They think it's okay. I just drive, you know, yesterday or Friday, I think, and, you know, I'm driving in the left lane just to let people come off the freeway, and somebody passes me on the right and think it's a good idea just to go and break me down, slow me down, because whatever they thought is okay, and just, you know, insulting me in some ways. They didn't see what I saw ahead anyway. They decided to punish me. Well, they thought that's okay to do that. So our conscience, if it's not renewed but God's word, might, you know, lead us into some whatever things that are not okay. You know, Joseph, when he was, you know, in Egypt, he did not have Bible. He did not have his father or family around, no church, no nothing. And whenever he was tempted to commit that sexual sin, you know what he said? He did not say, well, you know, are you sure nobody's going to know about this? Or, you know, he did not say that. That's Genesis chapter 39. He says to this woman, verse 9, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? So that's a good conscience when we are in a situation and our heart says, that's just not right, because God is watching. So, you know, that's very important, brothers, to have a clean conscience. The Bible is not going to tell you if you have to have how many channels you should have on a TV, or if you should have a TV or not. That's the reason, like, you know, for example, we have a TV at home. We don't have channels. But, you know, I mean, today, that's not sound spiritual, because YouTube can be much worse or anything like that. So I'm just saying we have to be careful with our, you know, conscience. I remember also one guy telling that he was a driver in Moldova. So, you know, it's a poor country. There's no truck stops or anything like that like we have here in U.S. So he had to drive all day, and at night he had to sleep. And you don't find good spots to sleep. So he just goes somewhere, and he parks, and he notices that no parking sign. And guess what he does? He just goes and takes that sign, you know, throws him in the, you know, the truck, and goes to sleep. And guess what? If the police knocks, says, man, there's a no parking zone. He says, well, I didn't know. Where is it? Like, there's no parking sign. He just passes in front of people. But in his heart, he knew that was not okay. God from above was watching. That's why it's important to have a clean conscience. Like, you know for yourself, man, did I just said the right thing and I just skipped through this? Or is there something God looking at you and say, that was not okay for you to do that? That's why it's important to take it personal. And God renews your mind. And he says, like, man, I love children, because they're honest. I think I shared in the church before, one of my nieces, right? She's like, I think she was like 6 years old or 7 years old. So she had a test the next day at school. And her mom says, let's pray for, you know, for tests so you can pass the test tomorrow. And she says, Mom, we cannot pray. That's cheating. God cannot help me. You should not ask for, you know, like, you have to do it on your own when you do testing. That's a child's clean conscience. That's how I want to be before the Lord. Say, Lord, is that truly what I mean? And is that truly what is in my heart? Or do I just want to sound humble? Do I just want to sound spiritual? And I have to tell you, I have a sinful flesh just like yours. And I have to repent, say, Lord, remind me I'm the worst sinner. May I never forget about that I'm the worst sinner. And Lord, make me aware of those spots, those, you know, that missing pieces in my fence where Satan is attacking me. And you know them very well in your life. We have family friends in Georgia, and this couple, the wife, she could not eat. I'm not sure if it was fish or dairy or something, but I know if she eats, she dies because of whatever sickness she has, like in her stomach there's something, she misses something, and she cannot process that. It's either dairy or fish or whatever. But she knows she cannot eat that. So I have no problem with certain things, brothers and sisters. Like, for example, I can eat fish, no problem. Or I was never tempted to smoke or to, like, you know, have drugs or, you know, drinking alcohol. But boy, do I have any other areas in my life where I need to watch? I do. And I have to know them, like, very particular. Like, you know, I'm very honest with you. I'm tempted to give a quick reply to some people, especially people who I know, and I know their situation. And I'm quick to say something, and the Bible says, don't be quick to judge. And if you speak something, be careful what you say. So guess what? I do have in my life, I mean, people like that. And what I did was, on my, you know, group, like I have chat groups and stuff, I mute that group. So I don't just, whenever, like, you know, ding, ding, you got a message, just go and I say, oops, I got an idea, I have to reply. No. I say, you know, after a couple of days, I check and I look and I say, oops, I got, you know, 25 messages or whatever, or one message. And I go there when I'm prepared. And then I say, okay, how do I react? Okay, let me think about this, or, you know, like this and that. This is keeping your conscience clean. Watch over whatever you're weak. If you know certain things, like, avoid them. Avoid them. And that's, you know, I remember also one of my friends, I'm telling you, a lot of friends, that's my best shot to explain what I'm thinking, because, you know, my English is limited. But I remember in Washington State, we used to live in Washington State, and one day I'm calling one of my friends, and you know, he says, is something emergency? If not, I cannot talk. And I said, it was a little bit weird, because before that, we used to talk over the phone. And I just learned that Washington State decided to increase the fine for talking over the phone. I don't know, it was like $900 or $1,000. I don't know. It was very high price. They wanted people to avoid driving and talking or calling or texting. So he knew if, you know, he got caught, it would be a very expensive ticket. So he said, I cannot talk. So I think one of the reasons we take, like, sin lightly is because we don't know the full price for that sin. What if from today or from tomorrow, there is a law in Missouri saying everybody who is caught driving and talking on the phone will be like death penalty for that? I mean, that would be like scary, right? People just, you know, like, man, I cannot do that. Well, what if I tell you that for every lie you tell, or for every anger, for every sin, it doesn't make the shape or form, the wage for that sin is death. It actually is. Jesus died for that sin. For that particular lie, for whatever sin we struggle with, and if we just look at that sin that way, our mind will be renewed. We'll know, Lord, you paid too much. Paul was writing and says, you guys, to Corinthians, you crucify Christ again through what you do. You just take it so lightly. So when we come before the Lord, we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, reject every kind of evil. If it seems like evil, stay away from it. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 to 23. Paul says, test everything, be careful, accept what is good, but reject everything that seems to be evil. In Romanian, that's how it says. If it seems to be evil. Did you watch any of these, like, videos on YouTube when a guy walks on a mountain, like a trail, and he just encounters a mountain lion? You know, like one of those big cats. He got so scared, you know, and just backs up. Like, man, I have to create distance. It's scary. You know, if it looks like a lion from distance, don't just assume, maybe it's a cow, I'll just approach it. Maybe it's just a nice dog, I'll just go and say, yeah, who's a good boy? Don't do that. If it seems like sin, stay away from it. That, you know, in my life, I have to struggle not with the things that are obvious sinful. I have to struggle with things that are, they're like in the gray area. You know, the good is the enemy of the best. You know, whenever, like, you know, things are good. Like, if you go to Walmart and you can buy everything, just bring the whole Walmart in your home. I'm going to ask you, are all those things good? Yes, they are. Do you have a purpose for them in your home? Or just pile up things there? You know, same way in our lives. Like, we have to be careful. Like, And I say this like from my perspective, I have to be very careful because sometimes I might sound right in front of people, but in my mind I have to keep my conscience very clean and before the Lord. If there are things that cover these signs or, you know, in our lives, see like those bushes we had here on the exit of the driveway, they covered, like they blocked the view. Somebody cut them off. You know, sometimes trees grow and they just cover the, you know, stop sign or whatever, like, and we don't see them. And this can be sinful things in our lives, whatever, but we have to make sure in our lives, if there's something that covers God's word and it's, you know, we don't see it properly, we have to be careful about that. I'm going to come to a closing and talk about the third boundary. God's word, my clean conscience, clean and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, but also godly people. The church is another boundary in our, around us. So we know, all know Jesus said, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's a safe place to be, brothers and sisters. In the church of Christ, where Christ says, I'm going to build, I'm going to watch over this church. And no, this church is not going to, it's not going to be destroyed. So in the church, it's very important. We are safe here because, not because of us necessarily, but sometimes whenever we, you know, we can neglect God's word, we can over, like go over our conscience. But in the church, you might encounter a Paul or Peter who says, brother, how can you do that? Where I noticed that. Brother, are you sure about this? Sister, are you sure about this or that? The church is that place where God wants to talk to you. And if you neglected this, you know, like I said, the Bible or your conscience, there might be somebody in the church who says, I noticed some change in your life. I noticed you don't pay attention to this, or you're not like you have been anymore. You're not so patient anymore. You're not so forgiving anymore. Is there something wrong? Is there something I can pray for you about? The church is that body of Christ where we, you know, feel that. I'm not sure if it was the second visit I had to this church. I remember it was in the Sister Rachel's home. That morning, me and my family, I mean, I was a little bit upset and angry on my daughters for something. And I said, well, we go to church because we want God to speak to us today. So we go to church. And that morning, guess what the subject was in that morning? Anger. And my daughter just looks at me and I said, yeah, that's why we came to church. And I told her that morning, I said, girls, it's important to read Psalms because in these Psalms, we see people expressing their emotions, sometimes anger or despair or joy, all that. And, you know, and after a couple of minutes, I just hear, you know, that same meeting where it talks about anger, it says it's very important to read Psalms when we're in situations like that. And my daughter looks again at me. And we knew God was talking to us. That's a sign that God is in the church when God deals with your sin. Paul says that very specifically. Like whenever 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 25, he says, if one unbeliever comes among you and he says, if God will be there, his secret will be exposed and he will realize that God is among you. When he will see that the Holy Spirit, the spirit of prophecy, is going to talk to him, expose his life, and he'll know that God is there. So I hope you do have, I do have somebody in my life who's going to say, like, brother, I noticed something about you. And this is not just, you know, to point fingers at each other. We all are good at correcting other people. We all are good at that. Everybody knows how to fix the world. You know, in Romania, people say, like, there's a saying, they say, like, everybody knows politics and how to play football, soccer, like here. You know, everybody shouts from the, you know, from the tribunes, like, you know, how you have to play and what you have to do. Paul says this, you know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who have an opinion, that's not how it says, you who live by the Spirit. Where in Romania it says, like, you know, you who are more godly or spiritual, more mature, should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, where you also may be tempted. It's not just for everybody. If you take, like, I have experienced this. Whenever somebody shares with me, like, says, man, I am so, like, I feel so disappointed because I did this sin or because I did that. Because I have been through that, I can feel with that person. So, as we grow in the body of Christ in the church, this is a place where there are godly people. I hope and I pray that we become where we are and become more and more like that, where we can, like, with very gentle, kind hearts, we can help other people who struggle. I'm not sure if it's appropriate to share this or not, but I'm going to say, when I was in the Bible school, we had a situation where one of the teachers, one of the tough teachers, he was American, actually. So he came there, and he was teaching us, and the thing was, he forgot to close, like, the zipper on his pants. So he was right there, and everybody was watching, and, like, you know, thought, like, it was nothing inappropriate, anything, but it just in our culture looks very, like, disrespectful, whatever. And one of the students actually came, and it was Isaac. So he comes, and he was not like, oh, you know, just shows that. No, he comes very softly, gently, and just shows, like, brother, and he just, you know, kind of shows him, like, you know, and it was just, you know, a couple seconds, you know, the teacher just, you know, closed, like, you know, whatever, and it was, you know, okay. So it was very, like, awkward situation, but somebody treated it very respectful. I hope whenever we have situations where our spiritual situation is much worse, you know, somebody will come to us and say, you know, I know it feels bad, whatever, but, you know, I want to help you. Thank God for those people. So I was trying to share this with you today because it's important to have God's word as the fence around us. And our conscience has to be always renewed and cleaned by the Holy Spirit. Because people are changing, churches are changing, and everything is, like, going around. And also it's very important to have godly people that fear the Lord, that walk along with us. And whenever one falls down, we just grab him up and says, let's just go. Get up. Let's go. I want to tell you about the tree that was attacked. It recovered. I didn't know it was going to recover because if you just, you know, if the deer eats all around, like, you know, that the skin of the tree, like, around it, it doesn't have any, like, you know, it cannot be fed from the ground. It doesn't go up. But just tiny little thing there was left. And I called one of my friends, and he says, man, that tree is gone because he doesn't have that, you know, around him. It's not going to survive. Well, it did survive. So I'm thinking for today, for all of us, I don't know how much damage we have in our lives because we've been careless. But today the Lord can assist you, to heal you, to recover, to says, get up. Okay, you neglected the stop sign all the time. Whatever, you covered that. You removed the no parking sign. And you just fooled people, like, you know, everything was okay. But you know today that was not right to do. You have to do this or that. You know, today the Lord is here to help us, get up and be more careful and pay more attention to His word. And that way we become more and more like Him. Amen.